ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yes, welcome to Shock Therapy, actually live. It is here and it is live.
It is good to be home.
Oh, crap, I've missed that voice.
Came in like a wrecking ball.
Oh, man!
That's for you.
You're the worst earworm friend.
That's for you, my friend.
You put stupid songs in my brain
all the time.
Dude,
I will wreck your life like a Miley Cyrus wrecking ball. Talk about a wrecking ball. It's like, one thing, look at something that will destroy your life, Miley Cyrus on a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
That will destroy all kinds of crap.
And that song will destroy your brain for the next 7 hours because it's stuck in your head.
I will destroy your face.
You know, I've actually never even heard the real song, and yet somehow I know half of it.
I think that's the only part that I know. I came in like a wrecking ball.
That's pretty much all I know, too. And I don't know.
I don't know.
No clue.
I got nothing else.
Yeah, welcome to Shock Therapy Live. We are here. We are live. Happy December. It is the month of Christmas.
Dude, we're going to mess some stuff up.
How have you been?
Good, man.
You were away for a little while.
I was.
Restoring and rejuvenating and refreshing.
This is the thing. I did so many different trips. It wasn't refreshing.
Except That's
for the,
true.
The only one that was refreshing was the anniversary trip with my wife.
What about Thanksgiving trip?
Yeah, it was mildly refreshing.
Please, you're honest.
We were like a week in North Carolina. Well, my dad and I were a week in North Carolina. Then we came back. Then another week in North Carolina. Then a week in Mexico. Then a week in Michigan.
Michigan. So, yeah, I guess that's – Mexico is probably warm. And then you went
to
freaking cold Michigan.
Mexico is beautiful.
Yeah.
Dude. Did so many drugs.
I was just about to say, how are the drug cartels?
No, literally, though, I was walking. My wife and I were walking. We were walking downtown, and we were in Cabo San Lucas, and this guy comes over. He's like, hey, you want to buy some Cubans? And I was like, no, I'm okay. And he's like, okay, you want to buy some cocaine?
Are you serious?
Literally, he said that. He's like, hey, you want some Cubans? I'm like, no, I'm okay, thanks. He's like, okay, you want some cocaine?
Little did you know he was talking about actual Cubans. He was selling humans. And,
literally.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I would have bought some then.
Yeah.
Crap. I always get confused.
If you miss Shock Therapy Live, you're welcome.
No, and then I was like, no, it's okay. I don't want any cocaine. He's like, you want to try some for free?
Are you kidding me?
Not kidding.
It's because you have that mustache, maybe, because you kind of look like a dude from the 1920s movies, like villain. Like the guy that you just tied some damsel in distress up. She's on the train tracks. Yeah. It's pretty magical. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little upset that I don't have mine right now.
I wonder what my name would be if I was a villain.
A villain?
Probably something like Wentworth Rockefeller.
Wow.
Sounds like a
Yeah,
because
you seem, you look like an esteemed villain. You're not one of those like lowly shotgun bad guys that just
like I'll hire people to torture you, but I'll come in like for a little bit and punch you with some metal knuckles, but then I'll walk away because I don't want to get my nice.
I was
like,
gonna say no. You can't even. You'd have to first when you walk in, you take off the leather gloves, right? Because you have those really nice gloves, and you don't want to mess.
And then I reveal that I have a metal hand that you gave me, and now I want to enact vengeance upon you.
Exactly. So, man, this is so great. I would watch this movie.
Yeah.
I really would.
I don't know what else happens besides that.
Well, they have to see the movie.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's the preview. The preview shows me revealing my metal hand.
Exactly. And they're like, oh, you know, I don't even have a backstory. I'm so mysterious. It doesn't matter. But anyways, moving on.
And then you chuckle, and then I hit you.
Pretty much. So, but it did. Okay. Yeah, that's how I roll. So when I get nervous, I laugh anyways. And so the more you hit me, the more I laugh.
Well, besides that, Jesus is cool.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that a little bit
absolutely.
Today.
Absolutely. Shock Therapy Live. If you have a question, if you would like to hang out with us, the phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. We got a few questions this morning online already. If you'd like to send in your questions, we will keep them anonymous. studio@mystaticradio.com. We do get a lot of personal questions, and so if you would like to keep it that way, then we will too. We'll totally honor that. So, all right, we got a couple email questions.
Yeah, let's take
one.
Where
do you want to start?
Let's start here.
Okay.
This is Kevin from Colorado.
Okay.
Before my question, I have a little background. My wife and I have two biological children. Around 4 years ago, we felt led to adopt a little girl from Haiti, who finally came home right after the earthquake. About 1.5 years ago, we were given two more little girls from Haiti after their adoptive parents could not handle them anymore. I am certain that this was God's will for those girls, since God specifically told me I would be adopting again several months before these two girls came to live with me.
Wow.
I work as an electrical engineer, but was laid off from my job last June. After 3 months of unemployment, I found a temporary job in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I feel that I am being underpaid for this position, but given the economy, I was desperate and felt that I had to take it, even though it is over 800 miles from my home.
Gosh.
My wife also runs her own small business, which has been discussed on this show previously. Between our jobs, we make enough money, but there is very little extra because of the additional children. We even purchased a larger and more expensive home almost 2 years ago, adding further financial strain. We are getting by, but we still have to be very careful. Additionally, life is difficult for my wife because she is acting as a single mother to five children, and is difficult for me being so far away from home, and the loneliness is crushing, and the hunt for a job close to home is depressing. I have told God that I would happily relocate my family if he tells me to, but so far have not been led to do so. In addition, we are friends with several other families who have also adopted and are reluctant to leave this area without clear guidance from God. My question is about tithing. My pastor in Colorado talks about Malachi 3:10, where God explicitly says that we are to put him to the test. My wife and I started tithing over a year ago, back when I was in college. Every test had a time limit. I could not dare tell a professor that I would turn in an exam in 6 months or a year. Right now, I feel quite the opposite of blessed. I often feel that my life is cursed because of this situation. How long should I give God to finish this test before I give him his grade? So far, I feel like he is earning a D, and am tempted to stop tithing so that I can at least have some more material comfort in this situation. My wife is against this idea, but I tell her that the test part was God's idea. Secondly, I have read on some websites that the Malachi verse is being misused, and that I should only have to tithe as I were a farmer or a rancher. And that since it is in the Old Testament, that it does not even apply. What is your opinion on this?
That was the end of it?
Yeah, it kind of goes on a little more, but I'm going to cut it off there.
Okay. Man. I have a few thoughts. I have a few different scripture references that I would like to go to immediately. As far as what is... Did he ask what the New Testament says?
Yeah, he said the idea of tithing is in the Old Testament, so...
Here's a New Testament verse for you. It's found in the book of Luke, chapter 11, where Jesus Christ is talking to the Pharisees, and he says this, "Now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you." Check this out. Verse 42 of Luke chapter 11 says, "But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." So Jesus there is telling the Pharisees, keep tithing. You're getting the tithing part right, but you suck at justice and the love of God. Now, tithing you should still keep doing, but you shouldn't neglect justice in the love of God. So Jesus Christ himself there is telling the Pharisees they should keep tithing. So that is still in the New Testament from the mouth of Jesus himself saying, hey, tithe. So we know that. We know that that word tithe literally means a tenth. And so, yeah. I mean, it's not just, I hear that argument regularly that it's just Old Testament. And do we really need to be tithing? Do we really need to be giving to the church? And I'm one of those, I am a staunch advocate of this for many reasons. One, because we're called to, we're commanded to.
And this is the message I've got, because I think you're dealing with a misconception here. A
Absolutely.
Lot of people think that you should tithe to get from God. Mm-hmm. But the idea of tithing is that we tithe because we've already gotten from God.
Yeah.
All that you have is God's anyways, and the idea is that God has entrusted into your hands while you're on this earth the money that you have, the home that you have, the family that you have. He's simply entrusted it to you for the time that you have here on earth, and as we tithe, we're only doing so because we recognize that it's already his. We don't do so in some kind of a greedy way saying, well, if I tithe to God, then God's going to really bless me. And so that's just a really, you know, as I read this story, I'm like, man, that's a really selfish idea to think that I'm testing God by tithing him.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't give me what I want in return, he's failing that test. No, no, no. God doesn't fail. We fail. And I would say right now, you're failing the test. I would say God probably has you through a test right now, not vice versa. You know, I think you're looking at the situation saying God's, you know, on test right now. But I think you're the one who's being tested in this situation.
Yeah.
And you're the one being weighed. You're the one being tried. And you've got to look at your life and say, man, am I being found with the right heart through this test? You know, I think through a guy like Job, you know, you want to talk about a guy who could have said God failed. Job had every right at that point to say that. I mean, he had everything taken from him, everything stripped from him, family, friends, money, health, everything he had was robbed from him.
Yeah.
And at the, you know, at the terminal end of his life, he could have easily said, God, you failed me.
Right.
You failed me, God. But instead he said, from dust I came, to dust I'll return. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm looking at your situation, and I recognize it's painful what you've gone through, but it's such a minimal part of all that God has taken on your behalf.
Yeah.
It's such a minimal part of all the pain, all the sadness, all the sin that Jesus took upon himself. And I think you need to look at your situation and say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, but blessed be his name.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 150,000% with you on this. I also would like to remind you of the heart of giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul speaks directly to that. He says, the point is this, and starting in verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one of you must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And it sounds like it's under compulsion. It sounds like it's reluctant. It sounds like, you know what, I'm going to test God on this, and he's failing me right now. And it sounds like your wife's got the right attitude. Like, hey, man, I don't know. This isn't necessarily the way I would take this. And I believe there's wisdom in what your wife is saying, that yes, you need to continue. I'll tell you right now, when I first got married, the idea of tithing for me, I think this is why it's so serious to me, is because I didn't tithe before. And it wasn't something that I really cared about. And my wife challenged me deeply on it to search the scripture, because she faithfully tithed every week. And so we begin to search scripture. We begin to really dig in about what God's word has to say about it. And it is very important to God, because this money that we have is not ours, as you had said. It is all from God, 100% of it. He has already given you. You say you're waiting for that blessing to come back. You have a blessing in the fact that you have a job. God has blessed you with a job. I realize it's 800 miles away from your family, and that's very difficult. But to say that, man, you know, I'm just waiting for God to bless me, it sounds like he has blessed you, because you were laid off and you found another job. There are so many people right now who were laid off, who have not found another job, who do not have that income coming in. And you do have that. So it sure sounds like God's already blessing your family, that God is doing those things. And it can be stressful. It can be tight. I was talking off air with Mateo about this, because when we got this email in, recently I had a moment of, I don't want to say doubt, but there was a hard moment, because it's getting closer to Christmas. The bills are, you know, Brody had to go to the emergency room, and my car broke down, and all these things keep piling up, and it's been very difficult. And there, for a moment in time, it was one of those, man, this tithe check is a big tithe check, and it could pay for the car, it could take care of this, it could do these things, but no, you know what, I've got to be faithful and pay this tithe. And we did, and God recently blessed us in an amazing way. I'm trying to be kind of cryptic about it, because I don't want to. We were blessed financially recently. God's providences, it was just, it was incredible. How God worked things out, and we were able to take care of everything this last month. Because we were faithful. And I understand that situation. I understand the idea that you know, well, this is Old Testament and this feels this way, but no, I would challenge that. Luke chapter 11, please dig in there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The cool thing is that word in the original Greek for God loves a cheerful giver, it's hilos, right? Hilarious, where we get our word hilarious from. Yeah. So it's like this laughing, you're out of the abundance of your heart, you're just filled with joy in doing this. And it doesn't sound like that's where you're at.
I would also give 1 Corinthians 16:2 as a New Testament idea of tithing. Yeah. Now, I will say this. A lot of Christians talk about this idea of 10%. The 10% idea is something that came from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Because the actual literal word tithe means a tenth.
Right.
But the idea of a 10% tithe in the New Testament isn't found. All that's given is that we're told to give from the abundance of our heart and give what we can. So, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, too, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, or as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so this is the passage that we often think about when we think of tithing in the New Testament. And it's this idea that we give from the abundance of our heart. We give from what we have, what each one of us can give. I forget what scripture it is, but there's a scripture, I believe, in the Old Testament that talks about, no, it might be in Hebrews, that it talks about if you're in a time of debt, if you owe a man money, that for a time you can relinquish your tithe to pay that back because God doesn't want us to be in the situation where we're indebted to somebody.
Right.
And so, but in the Old Testament, when it talks about that, it says that when you're done, relinquishing your tithe, you have to pay your tithe back to God.
Right.
So, the Bible talks about it in that way, that, if you don't give your tithe for a certain amount of time to pay off debts or pay off things that you need to do, that when it comes back, now you go, oh God, 30%, so it's it really needs to be something from your heart.
Absolutely.
I've heard my dad often say, if your heart doesn't want to give, don't give.
Yeah.
Because it's just filthy lucre to God. If you're just giving it to God, but you don't mean it, then God doesn't like your offering. I think of Cain and Abel.
Right.
One offering was acceptable to God, another wasn't acceptable to God. So that shows that some people's offerings aren't acceptable to God. And we look at that and say, well, how can that make sense? God asked me to do it, so I did it. But if you don't do it with the right heart, it doesn't mean anything to God, because it's really not about the money to God. What it's about to God is the heart behind the money.
Right.
What it's about is you showing that God is more important to you than your possessions.
Yeah.
And if you're giving and you don't feel that way, then the entire message and the entire lesson God wants to teach us through tithing is lost.
Yeah.
So, we give to show God that he's the number one thing in our life, that he's most important. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I really hope that helps you out. Don't mean to hammer, but it's something that's it's vitally important. And as we talked about off air, Mateo, myself, it's that moment where you're really missing out on an opportunity, because God has blessed us, each one of us, so much with what we have. And I know a lot of times we can just look at what we don't have and where we're falling short as far as financial stability or whatever. And yet, thinking about friends who are on mission trips overseas, who are doing things in other countries where people don't have roofs,
Yeah.
We take for granted the things that we do have, like running water.
You know?
And so to me, those are blessings. So,
and again, give what you can,
Yeah.
The widow's mite is a shining story to us of the heart of giving.
Yeah.
And how proud Jesus was of this lonely widow, this lady who had nothing, and she gave this tiny, this piece of coinage that was worth less than a penny, but it meant so much to God because of the heart that was behind it.
Absolutely.
So give what you can and give with a cheerful, good heart.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Pastor Nate Heitzig in studio. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello.
Yeah, hello. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing good. Well. How are you?
Good. Thank you. I actually just wanted to share a brief. When you read that letter, it really just kind of like, I don't know. I just had some compassion because I know that situation very well. I'm sure everyone can relate to it, and everyone has thousands of stories of how a breakthrough and a blessing. But I mean, to that gentleman or to the person that wrote that, for some reason, I really wanted to just kind of voice, man, for some reason, and just say, like I've been there, dude. Like, I'm sure we all have, but it's like, you know what, man? Like, you have so much more to gain than what you're losing now,
yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it, it's it sucks, dude. When it's like, I'm we got to go through a time to where it was just, we're just wondering how we're going to pay the next bill. And I'm looking at my son like a failure, thinking like I'm failing him as a father. But in that time when I was really looking back, it's like, we had priceless moments of coming together as a family and trusting God and praying to God and saying, okay, we're gonna give, even if it hurts, you know what I mean? And we're gonna give and we're gonna trust you. But I really believe, like, with when the gentleman was saying, you know, he feels like, you know, God has, you know, is a D, he would grade him a D right now. But it's like, on those moments, based on those moments where you're often, like, at the point of giving up, like, there really is breakthrough around that corner. If he would just hold fast and just not give up, dude, and just keep on and just don't let the enemy, like, deceive him and let him know, hey, you know what, your God's not bigger than your struggle. Like, he is bigger than that struggle. And you're often going to have more of a blessing when you see it in the end, because who knows if they've ever been close enough as a family as they pulled together now.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I really believe, like, there's more to blessings than materialistic, and sometimes God just needs to shake a family up or to shake a person up to say, yeah, I am the Almighty, you know, and I am bigger than money. And I just think I'm guilty of it myself, trying to hold me thinking if I made a lot of money, I'm a great person.
Right.
Yeah.
And God's saying it's the total opposite, dude.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes he'll slap me with the truth. And it's like, I enjoy those moments because then it wakes me up to say, you know what, that's naive.
Yeah.
And that's retarded. Yeah. But, you know, I just wanted to say thank you guys for even doing a segment like this and allowing people to even call in, and even me, like, just even call in and voice. I mean, that, you guys are doing such an amazing job in reaching so many people in your morning shows and your afternoon shows. Like, I really believe a lot of people don't really understand the seriousness of radio stations like this that need to be viewed globally than all these little, like, than the other just little commercialized radio stations. Like, you guys are making a difference in America, globally, around the world. It's like, you're allowing people to call in like I am and say and voice, and if the Spirit's moving, you know, to allow them to speak or anything, you want to interact with the people and generally have a care and love for people. A lot of people don't show that, man, and most people could care less. It's like, I really am just believing that the station will globalize into an elite, to where it's like it reaches people to where they didn't even think they could even ever hear it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like to the favelas in Brazil, all the way to, like, you know what I mean, like the slums. It's like, people want to, I hope it reaches everywhere, because it's like, it's such an amazing, and it's been such an impact in my life alone. And there's times when I struggled and listened and heard something that somebody said on this radio station, and it made me second think, like, you know what, they're right. You know what, I needed that. You know what, I had to have that. It was something that was just amazing, and it saved my life and changed because of the advice I was given, or the comment, whether it was made jokingly, whether it was made seriously, segment. It's like, everything you guys do is so much appreciated, and I just want you to know, like, you guys don't get enough credit for what you do and the hard work and the man hours you put in. That's harder than any other job in the world. And I just wanted to thank you guys and let you know that God is seeing what you're doing, and he's going to bless that ministry tenfold, a hundredfold. I really, truly believe that. And I just wanted to say thank you for everything you guys do.
Well, thank you, Derek.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, incredible words. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. You guys have a good day, man.
You too.
God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, again, I think this just reiterates what I was talking about before. I think in this situation with this man, I really believe God is testing him.
Yeah.
And he has this idea that he's testing God. God is testing him, man. And God is seeing if through this situation, you know, what his response is going to be. And I think right now he's failing, you know. I think right now.
I was going to say the exact same thing. The grading system, maybe it's not that God is getting a D. Maybe it's that, and forgive me if this is out of place, maybe this is his D that he needs to take hold of, because I would be, I get nervous. The idea of, like, quote unquote grading God and giving him a D, that dude gets a freaking A++, because I am redeemed.
Yeah.
There's nothing I could do. I deserve hell. I deserve death, because the wages of sin are death. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I am redeemed. I get to spend eternity with a loving God who created me. Not because of anything I've done, but because of the blood of his son. And so that is an A plus plus.
Yeah, this is the thing. You don't test the tester. You know, and so I think this idea, imagine if you would have tried that in college, if your professor would have given you like this crazy big test and he writes it to you and he says, okay, here you go. Here's your test. I want you to take the test. And you started looking through and saying, yeah, I don't think this is a very good test. Right. This test isn't written well. This test has really hard questions on it. I'm going to give you an F on your test writing and I'm not going to take your test.
Yeah.
Well, then you're going to get an F. You know what I mean? In this situation, you're not testing God. God is testing you. And the question is, what grade are you going to receive?
Yeah.
And so I would look heavily at your heart, not at what you're doing, because I picture you right now listening to this and say, well, I am tithing. I'm asking you if I should stop tithing.
I'm adopting children in Haiti. I am doing, you know.
The issue is your heart. Right. It's not what you're doing. It's the heart behind it. And your heart for giving, your heart for tithing is corrupt and it's evil. And you need to go to the Lord and ask for repentance and ask for the right heart behind the situation.
Yeah, don't give up. As that last caller said, you cannot give up in this situation.
We got another call in line too. Carlos. Right.
Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good man. How are you?
Doing well. Hey, I just wanted to respectfully push back on what you had said, Nate, about how if we're giving out of the wrong heart, that we shouldn't give because, you know, it's filthy lucre to God. But I just don't see that through Scripture. I think what we really need to do is repent of our evil heart and still give. And it's like, I think the first things first is like, Lord, why do I want to give? It's like, it would be the same thing saying, I don't have a heart to go to church. Well, wait a minute. Why don't I have a heart to go to church? Where has my heart been hardened? Where have I disconnected from the grace of the gospel? Lord, why am I disbelieving this? And forgive me. So, Lord, in obedience, I do this. And, Lord, literally, take out this issue in my sinful heart that I may further depend on you and deepen you. Because I think, again, when we throw that out there, it's like, well, I don't have the right heart, so I shouldn't be giving or serving or worshiping. I'm not gonna worship God today. Lord, why don't I worship you? Because I placed something in your place that shouldn't be there. Forgive me of that, Lord, and change my heart. Create in me a new heart. Renew that steadfast spirit within me and restore unto me the joy of my salvation and then repent of that.
Yeah.
And so even giving is an act of repentance, right? I have an evil heart towards God in this area, whatever area that is. And so repentance is doing the opposite.
Yeah, and I guess what I mean by that is that the most important thing to God isn't your tithe. The
most
important thing to God is your heart.
Right.
So before you give of your tithe, you should give him your heart. And if you're not ready to give him your heart and let him change your heart, then you shouldn't give him your money, because then you're just like the Pharisees. The Pharisees gave their tithe all day long. The Pharisees, you know, were giving all these things to God, and God pretty much came to a place, you know, with the widow's mite that he hated it. He despised their giving. He despised their prayers. He despised their vain repetitions. And so we don't want to give a tithe. You know, I don't want to give a tithe to God if God despises my tithe. You know, I want to make sure that before I give him my tithe, I give him of my heart, and I give him from the abundance of my heart, and that when my heart's right, then the giving will naturally be right. So I think that before we look at our Christian life and say, you know, how much money should I give to God, or how should I tithe to God, before we ask those questions, we should ask, how can I get my heart right before God?
Yeah.
And then if my heart's right before God, I know the tithe that I give will naturally be a right tithe to the Lord.
I think you guys are in the same boat rowing together, just on the opposite side of the same boat, because you're saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So it's perfect. So right on, man. Thanks for that.
All right, bro.
All right. Have a great day. Word. We got
another call. Yeah.
This is it's a big issue, and it doesn't get talked about a lot. And sadly, when it does get talked about, it's usually on television stations that are like, if you just give me 30% right now, God's going to bless your life. And so I'm glad we get to get
I'll send you this paper blanket, and God will bless you through the paper blanket.
Static.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hola.
Hey, I'm listening to you guys from a hotel room in California.
Oh, so that's awesome.
I just wanted to tell you that I really identify with the letter of, you know, having to leave the family and go to another city and work.
Yeah.
I just want to say, you know, man to man, to my friend, that sometimes you just got to do what you got to do to provide for your family.
Yeah.
And just find the blessing in it, and you know, do what you got to do, and I would just encourage him to get on the same page as your wife, regarding, you know, not just tithing, but like all of your money. And it's like the most powerful thing you can do in your family.
Agreed.
Is to be on the same page, with your wife, on how you're going to spend the money, putting a name to every dollar and honoring God first. And don't try to outsmart the Bible. I mean, if they're for a reason, that's the way they were supposed to line up our lives. And if we don't outsmart it and we just do what it says, the blessings are going to be there.
Amen. Amen. Man, I got to ask, listening from California, how'd you find us?
I live in Albuquerque.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have to come out to California every, you know, other week or so.
Okay.
So I definitely know what it's like to leave the family and, you know, right. the wife having to take care of the kids on her own.
Yeah.
And it's tough, but you got to do it. And there's blessings even in that. So
yeah.
Just want to encourage my friend.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, well, you're a dedicated listener listening on a computer in a hotel.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So thanks for the call.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, take care, guys.
All
bye.
Right. God bless.
Man. Great show so far. We're about halfway through. We got to take a quick break. We would love to talk to you. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. You can also send us your questions anonymously if you'd like through our email address. It's studio@mystaticradio.com. Quick break. Right back with more at Shock Therapy Live on Static Radio.
This Christmas, give gifts that have eternal value. The annual Thanksgiving sale at Parchments continues through Wednesday, December 4th. All Bibles are 35% off, and everything else is at least 30% off the lowest marked price. Located at 4001 Osuna Road on the campus of Calvary Albuquerque, Parchments has great gift ideas to keep Jesus Christ the focus of the season this year. Find more details at calvaryabq.org/parchments.
This is The Wire.
Okay, so you know those billboards that say your ad here? Okay, so that this is just like that, except not because it's radio and you can't see us, which you know, we know that you know. But this is where if you had a free event going on, people could be hearing about it. Instead of hearing me talk about this right now, they'd be hearing about your event, which would be stellar. So hey, send us your event details for free events. That's a key thing here. Green. Hey, and you know, don't forget the date. I don't know what it is, but sometimes people get so excited that they'll forget the date.
Do you have a free event going on? Submit your event details for The Wire at mysteticradio.com.
And please make sure it's right. We're trusting that the information you give us is correct. Thanks for your time. I'm glad we had this talk.
December 7th is Knob Hill's annual Shop and Stroll Christmas Extravaganza and Twinkle Light Parade. Calvary Knob Hill is going to be joining in the festivities with a free Christmas movie marathon, as well as free gift wrapping for you, popcorn, and hot drinks to moviegoers, shoppers, and all you parade watchers out there. Join Calvary Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater, Central, and Richmond on December 7th to celebrate the Christmas season and share in the love of Christ. Details at calvaryabq.org/Knob Hill.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. You're still listening? Good. Because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live.
Oh, yeah.
Craziness. Man, I love this show. I'm glad you're back. It's good to have you back, buddy. I've missed you. 505-338-3700 is the phone number if you would like to chime in, if you'd like to hang out, if you have questions. If you're just tuning into Shock Therapy Live for the first time, it's a call-in show centered around you, personal questions, real questions.
Yeah.
We want to dig in and be real and honest about what the Bible has to say, because it's got an answer for everything. And so,
have you ever hunted?
Yeah.
You have?
I actually have a set of antlers from an elk in my, it's in Matt's room.
Wow.
It's a skull and the antlers from an elk that my dad and I killed.
That's manly.
Yeah.
I was just thinking
this idea
of like being in need. Like, you know, like true men, like, don't buy their food. They kill their food.
Oh, like Phil Robertson?
Yeah.
Duck Dynasty?
Man, I wish I was like that.
Or just started like a winery?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I'd want to kill things that I like to eat. Like, hey, let me go to that farmer who owns that cow and shoot that cow so I can have steak.
Right.
That's the kind of things I'd want to hunt.
I would be in the ocean by Japan fishing for salmon.
Dude, I got to fish while I was in Cabo at deep sea fishing, caught a marlin and a big mahi-mahi.
Are you serious?
Big old mahi-mahi.
That is awesome.
I've got pictures of it on my phone.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's very, very cool.
Yeah.
And I killed somebody. Shock Therapy Live.
What?
What
did you say?
Okay, keeping it going. Going to the phone lines. Static.
Yo, what's up, fellas?
Hey.
Nice to have you guys back, finally.
It is good to be here.
Right on.
It's good to be home. I'm rubbing my belly button.
I'm always here, Nate. It's Nate. It's Nate. Really, he's gone. He's an important person. You can tell the important people because he's on airplanes a lot. I haven't been on an airplane in I don't know how long. Yeah, I'm not that important.
Take the bus.
Yeah.
If I could have taken a bus to Mexico, I probably wouldn't have.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So what's up, man?
I don't know. I've got all these thoughts rambling through my head. I've been wanting to call in for a while on this. Here's the thing. My sister, she's afraid to go to church. She's tired of hearing scripture. Let me back up. Okay.
Okay.
She's afraid to go to church. A few years ago, me and my sister as kids, my dad was always taking us to church. After we grew up and moved out, we stopped going, this and that. She got married. She had a daughter. She decided she wanted to start going back. She started going back to church, and her husband passed away.
Mm.
At the age of 31, he passed away of sleep apnea.
Wow.
He had a 2-year-old at the time. Her thought was, why is God doing this? You know, why am I such a bad person? Why I don't deserve this? So she's had a really hard time with that. She's still grieving over it.
Right.
This has been 5 years now. Maybe 3 years ago, she figured she'd, start going back to church, try to get back with God. And, she had some terrible health issues, shortly after she started going back to church. Turns out she was diagnosed with an AVM. It's a venial malformity in her brain. Pretty serious condition there. But I mean, she's striving through that. She's very strong-willed. She's getting through it. And then just recently she figured, I'm going to do this thing again. I'm going to go back to church, try and get back good with God. And, now her daughter has now been diagnosed with, severe sleep apnea. I don't know what scripture it is or how it's even, quoted, but it's the, God will only test you with what you can handle.
1 Corinthians 10:13-ish is what I'm thinking. It says something like that.
That's why I listen to you guys. You guys are awesome. But she's ready to punch the next person in the face who tells that to her.
Right.
And, but I mean, I'm just reaching out for anything I can tell her,
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what I would say. I would say, first of all, she needs to understand that there is a battle for her going on.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of times people associate bad things with God. That
yeah,
if something
why is
bad,
that?
I don't know. The Bible says that God is the author of all good things, not the author of all bad things. If we want to point the finger at anyone who causes bad things, we'd point the finger at ourselves, at mankind, because the Bible says in Genesis that when Adam ate the apple and Adam sinned, he brought with sin death and suffering into the world.
Right.
And so the reason there is pain, the reason there is disease, the reason there is death isn't because of God, it's because of us. It's because of sin. Now, I would also say to that, a lot of people think that, the world's a bad place, but when you come to Christ, it's like gumdrops and lollipops. Like, hey, I'm going to go on the yellow brick road and see a bunch of midgets with lollipops, and it's going to be great, and we're all going to sing and dance and skip, and it's going to be happy.
Right.
But we forget that this is the real world, and on the yellow brick road, sometimes there's flying monkeys in dark forests.
Right.
And so, I think that we have this idea that we come to Christ, and everything's going to be great. We get this from the televangelists. They say, hey, if you come to Jesus Christ, you're going to be healthy, you're going to be wealthy, you're going to be wise. Man, do you realize that if we were to be those things, that would discount Jesus Christ from Christianity?
We would need God.
Jesus Christ was poor. Jesus Christ didn't have great health. Jesus Christ was abandoned by his family. Jesus Christ died a brutal death on a cross. And so the message of the gospel doesn't say, if you accept God, you'll have a great life here on earth. The message of the Bible says that if you accept Jesus Christ in your heart, if you serve and follow him, you're going to have a great life after this earth, because this isn't our permanent dwelling place. And then I would also say this, your sister's in a place where she's associating going to church with something bad happening. And I would say that there's a chance that could be true, but not in the way that she thinks. You've got to understand this. Satan doesn't want her to go to church. And so each time she goes to church, Satan doesn't want that to happen. So it wouldn't be beyond reality to think that it's a possibility that Satan is trying to distract her. Satan is trying to afflict her in a way so that she won't go to church. You know, Satan is the master deceiver. He's the father of lies. And how much would Satan love if each time she went to church, he caused something bad to happen and made it look like God did it? Yeah. You know, Satan wants to be viewed as though he's God. So it wouldn't be, you know, beyond reality to say that there's a possibility that's happening. I'm not saying that's happening for sure. But I know this. I know that no matter what happens, no matter what comes into our lives, no matter what comes into the circumstances of our lives, we know that we can always lean upon God. And that's something the world doesn't have. You know, this is the idea, and I always tell people this. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Bad things happen to good people and bad people. We can't change that. Your sister needs to understand whether she goes to church or not, bad things are going to happen to her.
Yeah.
Bad things have happened to her, and bad things will probably happen to her in the future. Whether she loves God or not, that's going to happen. But as a Christian, as someone who goes to church, something that she can have that the world can't have is what the Bible says in Philippians is a peace that surpasses all understanding. The Bible says that if we come to God through prayer and supplication, letting our requests be made known to God, that He'll fill our hearts with a peace that surpasses all understanding through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so what we can have as Christians is we can come to the Lord and we can know that no matter what happens, He'll give us the strength that we need. He'll give us the, you know, the love, the grace, the peace that we'll need to get through any kind of a situation. We're told in Isaiah that He will mount us up with wings like eagles, that we will run and not grow weary, we will walk and not faint. You know, we're told to cast all of our cares and our concerns upon Him because He cares for us. And so I think we need to keep in mind that this world is hard.
Yeah.
This world, we're not promised a lot of money. We're not promised great health. We're not promised any of that in this world.
Yeah.
And there will be bad things that will continually happen in this world until we meet Jesus Christ. But no matter what happens, we can have an advocate through Jesus.
Yeah, and Jesus said it Himself in the book of John, chapter 16. Hey, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Because in the world, you're going to have trouble. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. He, as you so eloquently put, we are going to suffer in this world, in this life. And mm-hmm. and that's everything that Nate has just said. I echo completely because this last Sunday was the first week of Advent. It's the week of hope. And that was it. That hope, that joyful expectation of Jesus Christ. In that, yes, we are going to suffer. There's going to be pain. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be troubles. But Jesus has overcome all that. I would also show her Romans chapter 5, because I know how difficult. I know what you're saying right now. It seems like every time she's at church, something negative is happening. But I would ask her to rejoice. And I know that sounds crazy, but it says that we rejoice. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And it sounds like, if anything, there is, man, a gnarly battle, as Nate had said, for her heart. And where she needs to be in these times of tribulation is among God's people, is among those who can provide that pick me up or a standing with you. And
you know, this message that so many, you know, televangelists preach, that if we accept Christ, everything good's going to happen into our lives. It always blows my mind, because it really excludes every great person we read about in the Bible.
Right.
Every great person we read about in the Bible had horrible things happen to him. You know, what comes to my mind is 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, this is Paul speaking, that he says, I suffered in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of rocks. robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all of you." And so I read that and I'm like, man, if Paul would have called in to some televangelist today, they'd tell Paul that he didn't have enough faith. And I look at that, I'm like, man, that's not true. Right. You know, Paul deeply loved God, but we have to understand that the message of the Bible isn't that great things are going to happen to us if we're a Christian. You know, just as Steve just pointed out, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations.
Yeah.
But take heart because I've overcome the world.
Yeah.
Whenever
I see her situation, it seems like, you know, it's the Holy Spirit calling her to come to church and be with God. He's there for her. He's that shoulder she can cry on, is the way I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna go to line two as well. So stay on the line because we have a caller on the line that would love to pour wisdom into you. Okay.
Definitely.
So let's hang out. All right. Line one as well. Hello.
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 Hey, sexy.
You can't say that on the air. Stop
it. Why not? You're his wife. He could say whatever he wants. Well, I mean, don't.
Oh,
say
that was my wife.
Oh my gosh, Janae, how do you do that? Okay, for all the wives out there, in like 30 seconds, can you just say how it is? Like, I mean, obviously, it's the grace of God that is this your thorn? Is Nate your thorn? Would you say? Or how do you handle?
He's my entertainment.
There you go.
That's for sure.
There you go. I know that you had called in and you wanted to offer some words of encouragement, and so I'm going to let you go.
What's up?
Basically, I just wanted to say, like, from a woman's perspective, I can't imagine what she's going through, because losing your husband is like losing your security, and that in itself is so traumatic. And then to hear of your daughter, you know, having a disease, and that's her purpose for living now. And so I can't imagine what she's going through, but my encouragement would be that hope only comes through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And for her, it doesn't matter. There is pain regardless, kind of like the guys were saying. And I would just say to her, loving the Lord and serving the Lord and living for the Lord doesn't necessarily make the sting in this life less. She's not going to necessarily feel less pain, but she's going to have a reason for living and a reason to hope, and that is it, that when she passes, she will be able to see her daughter live without any kind of pain and possibly the joy of reuniting with her husband. And so her purpose is so much weightier.
Yeah.
Than just concentrating on the pain, because really what she's doing is digging herself a hole by just fearing, and the only thing that can overcome fear is our hope.
Yeah.
And the only thing that can do really truly provide true hope and true joy and true peace is through Jesus Christ. And I think she'd be surprised right now speaking to a mother and a widow. There is no words that you can tell her that will actually give her peace. She has to find that in Jesus, and the only way she can do that is through surrendering. But you can let her know, like, hey, I'm here. I know the pain is unfathomable. I can't imagine it. I'm not in your shoes, but I'm here to walk with you through it. And whether that is she doesn't have to start by going to church. Just start by calling out to the Lord. Nobody says, the Bible doesn't say you have to meet in a fellowship. Will that help? Will that give her strength to have bodies and people around her to lift her up? Absolutely. Right. But if she's not ready to take that step, take a baby step. Just start praying. Start looking in the Word. And start being real and honest with God. Kind of like Nate has always said, is when David went to the Lord in the Psalms, a lot of times he's voicing his pain, his suffering, his agony.
Yeah.
You don't have to pray and ask for rainbows and butterflies and say, oh my gosh, I love you so much. My life is so wonderful. You can go to him with your suffering. And a lot of times I think prayer is pictured as something that you have to paint a pretty picture. You can paint an ugly picture. God knows your heart.
Yeah.
So just be real and honest.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, and so, again, I would just think through this. You know, I think through any time something bad happens, we always want to blame God. And so I think through, you know, like this big storm that they just had in the Philippines, and thousands of people are dead. But I want to point out something very important about that. There was both righteous people and unrighteous people that died in that storm. There was both Christians and non-Christians that died in that storm.
Yeah.
And there's this idea that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And whether your sister goes to church or not, whether your sister has a relationship with Christ or not, bad things will happen.
Yeah.
But as Janae said, and as we've said, the hope and the peace that she can find through that suffering can only be found in God.
Amen.
The hope and the peace through that suffering is not available to non-believers. That's only available to believers in Christ.
Yeah.
And so when I look at that, I'm going to say, man, I'm going to experience bad stuff either way. I'm going to take the hope and the peace to get through those things.
Absolutely. And I would point her to Hebrews, where it talks specifically about this very thing. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, it says, Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And I think in this moment, she's tempted to walk away. She's tempted to just give up, because it seems like when she tries to go to church, when she tries to draw close to God, that's when bad things happen. So her temptation right now is to walk away from the Lord. But it says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And right now she is in a great time of need. She needs that grace, because we know as believers that his grace is sufficient for us, because God's power is made complete in our weaknesses. And she is very weak right now. She's in a place where, man, it's dark, and when I try to draw near to God, that's when bad things happen. So I'm tempted to just walk away. She needs to cling to Jesus Christ, who endured all things for us, who suffered through all things for us, who understands her pain and loss, and can offer that peace and that grace and that mercy that she needs, and it's only through him.
I wish you guys could see Steve right now, because he's got the full-on power preacher pose. He's literally standing legs open, going fist, 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 open hand, to the Lord, fist, fist. He's got full-on power stance going on.
I learned it from watching you, okay?
Well, it's definitely reaching me, and you know, I'm going to have my sister listen to this podcast, because there ain't no way I could even fathom saying everything that you guys are. And,
hey, yeah, there you go.
I thank you guys for your wisdom, and I thank Janae for calling in. She's wise beyond her years.
Yeah, thanks, Janae, for calling.
Yeah, and I would also just let her know, like, there's other Christians out there who are suffering and going through the same thing. Like, she's not alone.
Yeah.
And even if she listened to Levi Lesko Peach and his loss of last year of losing his little girl. And I mean, there, like Nate said, there is suffering regardless if you know the Lord or not, but there's hope that can redeem those sufferings.
Amen.
So.
Amen.
Hebrews, the hope that's an anchor for our soul.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank
right
you,
on,
guys.
Man. Thanks for the
All
call.
Right. God bless, guys.
All
Love
right.
you, babe.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Hey, we got one more question. We should try to hammer it out before we get off this this radio show.
Okay. 3 minutes. Go.
All right. Hey, guys. Thanks again for doing this. And it's okay if you don't get to my question. We are getting to your question.
Yeah, we are.
I'm at a bit of a crossroads in my life, and I was just wondering about the ability to hear God's voice on certain issues. I'm a senior in high school, and I'm going to have to make a lot of big decisions this year about college, moving out of state, and such. It's a ton of pressure, and I feel like I automatically start trying to think about it practically and logically rather than trying to listen to God's voice. I've been praying about this a lot lately, and I don't necessarily know if I'm hearing him correctly, or at all, really. I definitely don't want to take these big decisions based on feeling, but what would you advise be on this? What would your advice be on this? So I'm going to give you the advice that I was given as a senior in high school from Pastor John Corson. I was graduating. I was standing on a stage, and John Corson was coming over, and he came over and he shook my hand, and he whispered in my ear. He said, "Hey, Nate, do you want to know what the will of God is for your life?" And I'm like, "Yes." I'm thinking this is like some prophetic word. John Corson comes, he's like, "You're going to go to Dartmouth College. You're going to graduate in 4 years. You're going to meet a lady named Lucy. You're going to marry her. You're going to have two kids." I don't know. I was ready for some prophetic word. And this is what he said to me. I'll never forget it. He said, "You want to know the will of God for your life?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then do whatever you want."
Hmm.
And I was like, I had to think about it for a second. I was like, what does that mean?
Well, that doesn't answer anything.
What does that mean? And I thought about it. And it relates to this idea of the Psalms, that God will give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
If you love God with your entire being, if God is the number one focus of your life, he's the number one thing that you want to please, then the things that you naturally want to do will be the things that God wants you to do, because those will be the things that God has placed on your heart.
Mm.
A lot of times I think that we think through this idea of the will of God and we try to hyper-spiritualize it a little too much, to say, man, where should I go to eat tonight? I'm going to pray to God. Should it be Taco Bell? Should it be Wendy's? Should it be McDonald's? And expect God to give some miraculous word.
Super sad.
God doesn't do that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we just have to love God and keep God the number one thing within our lives, and then prayerfully just make decisions.
Yeah.
Just walk through a door. And yeah. If the door shuts, go to a different door.
Yeah.
But if you love God with your entire being, then the things that you want to do will naturally be the things that God wants you to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Or, so, we make a decision and then live with regret because we think, maybe I shouldn't have done that. And we're constantly dwelling in the past of, yeah. If I had only chosen Dartmouth instead of UNM, I would have met Lucy.
Yeah,
and now I'm with Janae and I don't know what to do.
So that's what that psalm says. That psalm says that, that God will give you the desires of your heart.
Absolutely.
That literally means, when it talks about that, it means that God will implant in your heart his desires.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that God's going to give you whatever you want.
Because I want the DeLorean from Back to the Future, and haven't gotten it.
It means that the desires that you should have, God will be giving you those desires.
Absolutely.
So the desires you have will be righteous desires. So I would say the best thing for you to do is simply seek God and love God, and then make a decision.
Yeah.
Pick a college to go to.
Yeah, cast lots. Grab the Monopoly dice and go, if it's 1 through 4, I'm going UNM. If it's 8 through 12, I'm going to State. It's 7. Crap, I didn't have a number for 7. I don't
CNM.
Know what I'm going to do.
CNM.
There
Crap.
It is. Boom, CNM.
Community College.
There it is.
Well.
Man, that was a full show.
That about does it.
We will be here
every...
Time
for me to go drink some old-fashioned eggnog.
No.
Go to sleep.
I love you. I've missed you so much. I'm glad you're back.
Let's go shoot something.
Okay, cool. I'm down with that.
I was walking by the Arroyo the other day, and I saw a bunch of birds. I said, man, I wish I had something to shoot these things with. You throw rocks at them like little kids.
If you missed any part of Shock Therapy Live, you can download the podcast at mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. We do the show week in and week out, and we've covered a gamut of topics. So if there was a question you didn't get answered, or if you had some curiosity about some things, just go back to the podcast. Trust me,
mm-hmm.
It's there.
Yep. The early bird gets the worm.
We'll see you guys again next Wednesday.
It had nothing to do
Shock
with what we were talking about.
Bye. Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.